and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church Barry. We thank you for tuning in and sharing in this time of worship with us today. Might I just say how much we truly miss seeing your smiling faces, and we miss your hugs too. So for now, we have to resort to our virtual hugs are all that we can have at the moment, so I'm going to pretend to give you one right now. In times like these, we might ask the question, how deep is the Father's love for us? The answer is vast beyond all measure. For we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And we also read in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Thank God for this, the reading of his word, and thank God for his amazing love for us. Our music team is now going to sing a couple songs together, starting with How Deep the Father's Love.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there. Oh, well, it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know no power, no will.
Let us pray. Our great and gracious God, it is our joy to honor you for the amazing love that you shower upon us. We are but lowly sinners, yet you loved us enough to sacrifice your precious one and only Son for the atonement of our sins. Father, we praise you for your faithfulness, your love, and your mercy, and we thank you for the many blessings in our lives. Your love sees our failings and forgives. Your love feels our pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Help us to remember, Lord, that each day we need to submit to you and invite you to reign in our lives as Lord and King. Father, we lift to you all who are touched by the coronavirus. We pray for the sick. We pray for the lonely. We pray for our world leaders at all levels of government. May you give them wisdom to know how to act in our best interests. We continue to pray for all frontline healthcare workers. We pray for doctors, nurses, and technicians. Uphold them in your mighty hand and give them the strength they need to keep up with their work for our behalf. We continue to pray for truck drivers and grocery store and restaurant workers and for all the people that play a part in our survival. Lord, we pray your watchful hand upon all who are helping us through this very difficult time. Father, there are many in our midst who are experiencing loss or loneliness due to social distancing and isolation, and we pray that you will be a source of comfort to them. We pray, Lord, for members of our church family who are going through health issues like cancer treatment, or for those who may be waiting for surgery or recovering from surgery. May you rest your healing hands upon them, and may they feel your loving presence surround them. We pray for those who have recently dealt with the loss of a loved one. We pray that you will be a source of comfort and strength to them in the coming days. Bless each person who is listening in today with the knowledge that you are with us in this service of worship. We lift our hearts and souls and minds to you that we might hear your intended message this morning. We pray for your anointing on Pastor Smart as he brings us your message today. Transform us through your Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all of our days. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
About missing you, we do. We really, really miss seeing all of your faces. And I have really been enjoying those times when various groups from the church can meet together by way of Zoom, and we can actually see one another's face. And that does help in this time. But you are missed more than we can really say. But so for our broadcast, all I can do is imagine your face being there. If it were any colder right now, we'd have to get the winter coats out. In fact, my wife did that on Sunday when we were having a laneside visit with someone. But it reminded me that the weather is just as confused as the rest of the world is in these days. Have you ever doubted the goodness of God? If you're honest with yourself, deep down inside, I would think we would all have to say, yes, there have been times when we've doubted the goodness of God. When things are going well, it's easy to feel blessed and to express our gratitude to God and to acknowledge that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But when the bad stuff happens, we start to forget that word all. all the time. What then? And in times like we're experiencing right now, it can be a time of just not fully realizing how good God is. Is God any less good in this time of COVID and the stresses that you may be under? Well, of course not. God is the same every day, in every situation. His character does not change. God is always good. It's easier to say it, though, than to really believe it deep down inside when things aren't good. Understanding and resting in the goodness of God at all times is critical to the health of the believer, and especially in these days. It's so important that I want to revisit this message, the goodness of God, that I first gave here to our congregation last September. There is an old story about a certain king and his servant. Whether the story is a fable or based in factual evidence, I do not know for sure. I am unable to find any documentation as to the source of the story. But here it is. This king had a faithful servant who was always proclaiming that God is good and everything God does is perfect. He is never wrong. In every circumstance, both good and bad, that this servant would face, he would proclaim, everything God does is perfect. God is never wrong, with the same amount of enthusiasm. This servant was known throughout the kingdom for his faith in God and in his unshakable belief in the goodness of God. One day, the king and his servant were out hunting and were attacked by a ferocious lion. And in the end, the servant managed to kill the lion, but he could not prevent the king from losing his finger. And furious, the king said to his servant, kind of mocking, says, "Well, if God was good, I would not have been attacked and lost a finger." And his servant replied, "My king, despite all these things, I can tell you that God is good and everything he does is perfect. He is never wrong." Outraged at this reply, the king ordered his servant thrown into prison. And sometime later, the king went out hunting alone. And while hunting, he was captured by a group of tribesmen from the hills and carried off to their village. Now, this tribe practiced human sacrifice, and so they were going to sacrifice the king to their gods. And as they prepared the king for the sacrifice, one of them noticed that his finger was missing, and immediately declared that they could not use the king for sacrifice because he was not complete and was therefore unsuitable for sacrifice. So they let the king go. When the king got back to his city, he ordered his servant to be released from prison and brought to him. And when the servant arrived, the king said, "My friend, God was really good to me. I was almost killed for the lack of a single finger. I was let go. But I have a question. If God is so good, why did he allow me to be put into prison? Why did he allow me to put you into prison?" "My king," replied the servant, "if I had not been put into prison, I would have been with you and would have been sacrificed because I have no missing finger. You see, God is good. And everything he does is perfect. He is never wrong." God is good. Goodness is at the very core of his being. God is good all the time. God does not change. Good is the absence of all evil and evil intent. Good means, in the biblical context, referring to God, to be absolutely pure and perfect in his character and in his actions and in his intentions toward us. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses on Mount Sinai begged God to reveal himself to him. "Show me your glory," Moses said. And the Lord replied, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." And then the Lord hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and protected him with his hand until his glory had passed by, so Moses could only see the after effects of God's glory. For no one can look on the face of God and live. No one can see God in all of his pure glory and goodness and live. The pure essence of God's glory is revealed in his goodness. I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. This is what God said to Moses. God is absolutely perfect. He is perfect in his being. He cannot become more or less perfect. He is good. He cannot become more or less good. He is perfect in his character. There is no evil of any kind in God. He is perfect in purity. God is holy. God is good. He is perfect in his actions. God does not, nor can he make mistakes. Everything God does is perfect and therefore is good. God is absolutely perfect in his intentions toward you and toward me. God is good. David, in Psalm 145, was caught up in the goodness of God. And I want to take these moments to read this psalm for you. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation shall commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen and Amen. Don't miss one of the very important messages here in verse 9 about God's goodness. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Who's included in that good to all? Well, you are. I am. All are. Who is included in he has compassion on all he has made? You are. I am. And there is nowhere in his creation that you can be that he is not there already. There is nowhere that you can be where you are not under his compassionate and watchful care. But maybe you're not quite there today. Perhaps you're having a little challenge or not so little challenge in saying from the depths of your heart, God is good. In spite of all what's happening in the world and what's happening in my life right now, can you say God is good from the depths of your heart? That might not be quite where you are. But God is good, folks. He's good whether you are feeling he is good or not. And you may be saying, if God is good, then why is fill in the blank? Why is this happening? This message today on the goodness of God is kind of a preparation for the message next week, where I want to explore the problem of evil and its existence if God is good. If God is good, then why is there so much evil and suffering? And that's where we're going to be taking off from this message too. But if God is good, you may be saying, why is this happening in my life? If God is good, why am I in this situation? If God is good, why hasn't life worked out better? Why? And like the king in the story, you're missing a finger today. Something has been lost. Something is missing in your life. And like the king, you're blaming God or questioning if he really is good. Well, guess what? I have news for you this morning. You might be exactly right in blaming God, okay? You might be missing a finger, whatever that means in your life, by God's design, like the king was, because God loves you and he's protecting you from something you don't even know about. But there is also the possibility today that you're missing a finger because of your own choices. And you can't hold God responsible for that. You're missing a finger in your life because of decisions that you have made and actions that you have taken, or inactions that you may not have done, or habits that you have developed. There are two little pithy sayings that I find quite instructive and humorous at the same time. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. You know, seems so simple. It is. And the other one is, for things to get better, I have to get better. For things to change, I have to change. You know, we like to blame, play the blame game, don't we? We like to blame the government. We like to blame the boss. We like to blame our circumstances or our parents, or on and on and on it goes. You know, we live in a world where everything is someone else's fault. And because of that, a man with a dark heart bent on revenge murders 22 innocent people in Nova Scotia because he blames them for something, right? The truth is, things will only get better when you get better. Things will only change when you change. It's called taking responsibility. Too many times people expect that when stuff happens in their life, that God is just going to do it, whatever, okay, and rescue them. That they're the passive observer and God is just going to do what is necessary, so why doesn't he? Becomes the question, if God is good, right? Why doesn't God rescue me? When we're trapped with nowhere to go and expecting God to helicopter in and pluck us out of there and change everything for us. Do you know what God does? He shows up. Most often not with a helicopter. Most often he shows up with a flashlight in the darkness of her situation. And he says, you know, there's a hole in the fence over this way. Come, follow me, and I'll show you the way of escape. And he leaves the choice with you as to whether you follow him or not, and whether or not you let him lead you step by step to the hole that's in that fence and to the way that things get better and to the way of escape that in his goodness he has provided for you. How does one take this kind of responsibility so that you can rest in the goodness of God? There are three things that I would suggest to you today. The first thing is, stop blaming God if you are. Stop doubting his goodness if you are. See, blaming God is what Satan wants you to do. You need to remember that on one hand, God loves you, but on the other hand, Satan hates you, and he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he might devour. On the one hand, Jesus died for you. He loves you so much he went to the cross to pay the price of your sin. On the other hand, the world wants to use you for their own purposes. On the one hand, the Holy Spirit wants to make you better. The world wants to make you bitter against God and to make you just like them. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, we read these words, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." When you resist the devil and trust God, and the fact that God is good and everything he does is perfect, he is never wrong, and because of that, even when life gets hard, you can still know that God is good and you can rest in the knowledge of his goodness. God is good all the time. He has not changed. He will not change. The promise is that when you resist the devil, that he will flee. The second thing is to trust in God's goodness when troubles come. We need to trust in God's goodness all the time, even when there isn't trouble. But especially when trouble comes, we need to trust that God is good and that we can trust in his goodness to see us through. Trouble is a part of life. We live in a broken and fallen world. And when troubles come, God has promised to be with us and to help us and to comfort us and to provide for us what we need in those times. His promise is, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you." Sometimes God's goodness makes it necessary for him to take us through trials and losses and heartache. I want to give you a quote. I do not know the source of this quote. I ask God, "Why are you taking me through troubled waters?" He replied, "Because your enemies can't swim." Trust in the goodness of God. And then the third thing is to put yourself in his hand without reservation. See, God knows the plan that he has for you, and it's specific for you. And his plans for you are good because he is good. When God says, "Take my hand and follow me," take his hand and follow him wherever he leads you, because you are safe in his hand and you're safe because he is good. When God calls you to some action or new step in your life, don't do the "but" thing, you know. "But what will happen if?" "But what will happen to?" "But what will I have to give up or lose?" But. Here's some good advice. Leave your buts where they belong, in the ashtray, okay? Put yourself in God's hands without reservation, and that means no buts. Because when life changes, God is good. So you can put yourself in his hand without reservation. God is good, and everything he does is perfect. He is never wrong. John Ortberg, in his book, Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them, tells the following story about a young man, John Gilbert. When John Gilbert was 5 years old, he was diagnosed with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. That's a genetic disease that would progressively steal away his outward abilities, his mobility, and even his ability to speak before it claimed his life at the age of 25. Somewhere along the way, not sure when, in his teenage years, John Gilbert had been invited to a national football fundraising auction. There was one item at that auction that really caught his attention. It was a basketball signed by all the players of the Sacramento Kings. John so desperately wanted that ball that when it came up for bidding, John raised his hand to make a bid. And his mother quickly grabbed it and held it down because they didn't have the funds to cover any bid, let alone the opening bid. While the bidding for that ball raged, the bids kept coming. They surpassed all the other items and the bids continued to come. And then the excitement in the air became so electric it was palatable. Finally, a man made a bid that no one else could possibly match and won the prize. The man walked to the front, claimed the basketball, but instead of going back to his seat, this man walked across the room and gently placed it into the thin, small hands of the boy who had never dribbled that ball down a court. The hands of a boy who would never throw it to a teammate, never fire it from the foul line, but a boy who would cherish it for as long as he lived. John Gilbert, while he was still able, wrote these words. I quote, "It took me a moment to realize what that man had done. I remember hearing gasps all around the room, then thunderous applause and weeping eyes. To this day, I'm amazed. Have you ever been given a gift that you could never have gotten for yourself? Has anyone ever sacrificed a huge amount for you without getting anything in return?" Folks, that story is a picture of what God has done for you. He sacrificed his own son. He allowed Jesus Christ to go to the cross for you. Such is the goodness of God that he gave us what we don't deserve, what we could never earn, what we could never pay for. He gave us his own son for our salvation, yours and mine. And when you grasp the magnitude of this, you grasp just a bit of God's goodness. How can we not? Understanding what God in his goodness has done for us, how can we not but fall on our faces before him in all humility and give to him in return our all in all? See, but God did get something in return. He got you. If you have accepted his gift of salvation that he freely offers you, you become at that moment of faith God's gift to his own son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to purchase your salvation because he loves you. He loves you, I promise you, more than tongue can tell. Such is his goodness. God is good. Declare today that you are good. Your word tells us, and we've experienced your goodness in our lives. And Heavenly Father, we pray today for any who are listening within the sound of my voice that have not opened their heart to you and experienced your goodness in their own life, that even in these moments, that they would just bow their head before you and humble their heart before you and just say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Come into my heart, cleanse me from my sin and forgive me for it, and make me whole before heaven and accept me as your child, I pray. And we know that heaven will do this and that they will become God's wonderful gift to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will become God's wonderful gift to them. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. We declare your goodness. We declare our faith in you. And that we trust you, we rest in your goodness, and we say, Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. We love you more than life itself. And we pray now for your divine benediction just to rest and abide upon each one of us in Jesus' name and for his sake and for ours. Amen. God bless you.
That's a wrap.